Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am very grateful that you all have decided to join with us in worship on this Sunday morning. I do also believe a bit of congratulations is due. You survived your first week with the new pastor. Congratulations. Let's see if you'll survive week number two. We do have several announcements this morning, things that I want to make sure to draw your attention to. One of them is that we, of course, have our Vacation Bible School coming up, and we still need both kids who are interested in attending that and volunteers who are willing to come help out and just kind of walk around with the kids from station to station, make sure that they're getting from one place to the next. Our skits this year have actually been prepared by one of our own youth. He has written them for us. And there may even be a cameo or two in those by yours truly. So if you're on the fence about whether you want to come and help out, maybe that will be a little bit of an extra incentive to push you over the hump. Also, please take note that we do have our gift to Pine Mountain that is coming up. And that still needs folks who are willing to come, participate, and of course, tell your friends. Figure out today, it's in your bulletin, the whole list. Figure out what classes you want to take and go ahead and call. And then figure out which ones your friends might want to take and make sure to invite them for those. I also know that this morning we probably have a number of prayer requests. Among them, of course, is I would ask your continued prayers for the Story family, most specifically Anne. You all probably know by now that Jack passed away earlier this week, and we had a beautiful, beautiful worship service for him here yesterday. I do thank every single one of you who played a part in that, every one of you who attended that. You truly made it a memorable time for that family, and for that, both the family and I am grateful for you. I do want to ask this morning, though, if there are other joys, other concerns that you all have that you would like to share with your church family. Yes. Thank you. We'll certainly lift up both of those. Any other joys or concerns? Yes. Okay. Okay. Very good. Others? Yeah, Rick. Rhonda Howard with a group on a mission trip this week to the Dominican Republic. We'll certainly lift that group up. Others, are there any other announcements for the good of the church?
This Sunday's theme is at Hopewell United Methodist Church tonight at 6 o'clock. The men are supposed to sing. Supposed to. They can all do that. So come out and support them at Hopewell tonight at 6.
Yes. Yes, Vacation Bible School meeting just briefly over in the Family Life Center after worship today. Any others? I do feel that I need to let you know that there are spies in your midst this morning. If you have not already met them, my parents, Tom and Susan Short, are sitting over here with my wife, Allison, and I hope that you will thoroughly embarrass them as they hate being put on the spot. But nonetheless, we are delighted that they were able to be down here with us today. So. With that, I invite you to join me now in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, during this week, we are focused maybe more than ever on the freedoms that we are given. Lord, today we gather here in this place and we give thanks to you for all the freedoms that we do have, the freedoms that this country allows, the freedom to gather here in worship together, and of course, the freedoms that we are given through your Son, Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we ask that here in this time and place, you would fill us up so that we might empty ourselves to others. And that, Lord, we might use the best of that freedom that you have given us so that we can serve others. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say together, Amen. At this time, I would invite you to stand as you're able to join with me in our opening hymn for this morning, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It's actually found on page 697, not 696. But I invite you to stand and join with me in singing. Our first scripture lesson for this morning is from the book of 2 Kings, verses 1 through 2, and then 6 through 14. 2 Kings 2, 1 through 2, 6 through 14. Hear now these words. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel together. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And so the two of them walked on together. 50 men from the company of prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, he rolled it up, and he struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on the dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, "My father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and he tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan River. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he too crossed over it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I now invite you to turn with me to page 881 in your hymnals and to join with me in reciting the Apostles' Creed, a historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. I invite you to join me now in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, this day we also ask for a double portion of your grace, a double portion of your love, and a double portion of your Spirit. Lord, we ask for this today, not for our own sake, but for the sake of those who we love and who we would serve, for the sake of those who dwell around us. Lord, we ask that you would fill us to the point that we are so overflowing that we cannot help but to pour ourselves out to others. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and abide with us today, so that then when we go forth from this place, we will go forth renewed in energy and in spirit to serve others. Lord, we ask that today you would put something in each of our hearts that we need to hear, that you would speak to us and give us a lesson and that we can share it with others. But above all else today, we thank you once again, gracious God, for these freedoms that we are granted, for these who have fought and many who have died to make it so. Lord, we give you thanks. Gracious God, here in this time and place, we ask that you would help us use the best of our freedoms to serve you in this church and in the world around us. Gracious God, we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray this prayer that we now say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now our children would come forward and join us up at the front.
Good morning, guys. Well, this, I have to make bed, feed dogs, play Monopoly, pull weeds, have a VBS meeting, watch some TV, take a nap, cook dinner. Does all sound like fun things to do? No? Some of them sound fun. What if I just did? What if I just took a nap and watched TV? That'd be okay. But I wouldn't get those weeds pulled up. And I think people might miss me at that meeting. And my kids would be hungry if I didn't cook dinner. So, I probably better not do those things first, right? You do the important things first. Well, that's something that Jesus wants to teach his friends. When Jesus met some people, they said, "We want to follow you." Come on, let's go. But first, I got to go tell my family about it. I got to go finish some work. I got to go, you know, talk to some people. So, no, it's not going to be easy. But you have to put me first. So what he meant was you have to do the hard things first, right? God always has to come first in our lives. So when you're making your to-do list, someday y'all will, you want to make sure the things that are important to God are the most important things on your list, right? To work Jesus into your whole day like that. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we understand it isn't always easy to follow Jesus. But nothing in life is more important. Help us make Jesus the number one thing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Now I would invite our ushers to come forward for the collecting of our offering. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for all that you have given to us. Now, as we give back to you, we ask that you take what we give, that you consecrate it and multiply it, so that we might use it to serve others in your name. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we say together, Amen. Please stand.
So the cross with a ring.
Thank you, choir. I know some of you are playing at less than 100% today, but you wouldn't know it by listening. I also want to thank Caleb and Bobby for filling in today for James, who is not here. I wanted to make sure to say that earlier and forgot, so I wanted to say thanks now. Our next scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. There we will read verses 51 through 62. Luke 9, 51 through 62. Hear now these words. As the time approached when Jesus was to be taken up into heaven, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. So he sent messengers ahead of him. Along the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the Samaritan villagers refused to welcome him because he was determined to go to Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" But Jesus turned and spoke sternly to them, and they went on to another village. As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes and dens and birds in the sky have nests, but the human one, he has no place to lay his head." Then Jesus said to someone else, "Follow me." This one replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God." Someone else said to him, "Let the dead bury their..." Someone else said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my own house." Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom." I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me now. Lord, during this time we ask that the words of my mouth, that the meditations, the very rhythms of each of our hearts would be found acceptable in your sight. Because, O Lord, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Have you ever got to witness somebody who had their mind so set on something that you couldn't make it waver from one way or the next? Have you ever been around someone with so much determination that it didn't matter what happened, it didn't shake their mind off of that goal that they wanted the most? Well, I got to see that sort of perseverance in a pretty unlikely place not all that long ago. You see, back in December, my family and I took a trip up to Virginia, a road trip. Allie had work obligations, so she was not able to be on that trip with us. And my brother-in-law, that is my sister's husband, also had work responsibilities and wasn't able to be there either. So that meant that I got to be the other adult in the car with my sister, my niece, and my nephew. My niece and my nephew at the time were 6 and 3 years old. Exactly. 8 hours in the car with a 6 and a 3-year-old. Now, my parents also were on that trip, but they drove their own car for some reason. Couldn't figure out why. I was the other adult in the car. And just to say here up front, because I know I'm new here, it's important that I say that I love kids. Kids are the best. My niece and nephew are the best. You'll probably get to meet them in a few weekends because they're going to come and stay with us for a weekend. They're the best. But because I'm not a parent, my tolerance isn't as high as for those of you who are parents for all of those little annoying things that kids do. So about 4 hours into this trip, y'all, I was already done. I was done. We were only halfway there, and I was done. I had already got a speeding ticket because I was trying to get us there faster. And that's when the fun really started. Because about 4 hours in, halfway into our trip, my little nephew, in the sweetest voice he could muster, asked an innocent question from the back of the car.
Mommy, did we pack my floaties? Now, by floaties, he means those little orange things that help you swim. Now, why he thought he needed those in Virginia in December, I have no idea. But it was important to him. And so my sister, being the good mom she is, responded back equally sweet. No, buddy, we didn't pack them. And you don't need them anyways. But mommy, my floaties. What followed was another hour of talking nothing about anything other than those floaties. It was the only thing he cared about in the world, the only thing he wanted to discuss. And y'all, I tried everything I could to shake him off of it. I tried everything. I tried to reason with him. Have you ever tried to reason with a three-year-old? I tried to reason with him. It wasn't very successful. Then I tried to bribe him. It was a better idea, but it also didn't work. And then I tried to offer to stop at whatever the closest store we could find was and buy him whatever new floaties he wanted. If only he would stop worrying about the old ones. None of it worked. After that first hour, my sister and I decided to try a new tactic. Maybe we can distract him with enough stuff and he'll just forget about it. And so we gave him my phone, let him watch whatever he wanted to watch. We gave him control over the radio. Y'all, I cannot tell you how many times we listened to Baby Shark. I tried everything I could. I played card games with him, but it didn't matter. Because at least once every 10 minutes, but often much, much more than that, for that last 3 hours, he would mumble out something about those floaties. By the time we finally arrived at the destination, I slammed the car into park. I ran out of the car with only two things on my mind. One of them was to go to the nearest department store I could find and pop every single pair of floaties that I could find. But the other thing was this odd sense of pride that I had in my nephew. And in his tenacity, at such a young age, to get even that silly thing that he knew that he wanted. All silliness aside, I think that there is something impressive about someone who can have such a singular focus on one thing. I think there's something impressive about the batter or the kicker who can clear out all the crowd noise and just focus on the task at hand in the big game. I think there's something impressive about the performer who can clear out everything going on in the audience. All of the babies crying, all of the cell phones going off that aren't supposed to be there in the first place. They can just clear it all out and do what they were brought there to do. There's something impressive about that singular focus, something impressive about that determination, something impressive about that level of perseverance. And you know, I've got to tell you this morning that I think that that is exactly what Jesus chose in our scripture passage today. Luke 9:51 begins with the words that Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had been just kind of going from one place to the next. Sure, he had direction, he had places he wanted to go, but it wasn't that specific. He was just traveling around visiting. But now, he had direction, because he knew that his time had almost come. Y'all, when Jesus had a direction, he got moving. Jesus was on the move. So he sends some messengers out in front of him. Messengers go to the nearest city, Samaritan village. There in the village, they say, Jesus is coming. Will you get things ready? But to say that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along very well would be the understatement of a lifetime. They hated one another. And so when they found out that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, they didn't want any part of welcoming him in. So they said no. But as Jesus passed by and as his disciples found out about it, they did what the disciples always do, or always seem to do. They overreact. They ask Jesus for the power and the authority to do what Elijah from our earlier story did in the Old Testament, to summon fire down from heaven and to burn down the whole city, just because they wouldn't welcome Jesus in. Jesus rebukes them quickly, because Jesus doesn't have time for any of the disciples' nonsense right now. He doesn't have time for any of the disciples' shenanigans. Jesus is on the move, and he's got somewhere he needs to be. So he continues his journey. On the road, he encounters three others who want to follow him, each one with an excuse for why they can't follow right away. And y'all, I've got to be honest, they sound like reasonable excuses. They sound like reasonable things to want to do. But Jesus doesn't have time for them. One wants to bury his father. The other wants to go and say goodbye to his family. And Jesus is short and blunt with them that Jesus doesn't have time to wait around. He's so short and he's so blunt that a lot of people think that Jesus is cold or downright cruel here in how he treats these folks. But to me, it doesn't read that way. It's that Jesus was on the move and he had a place to go. And he couldn't wait around for anybody. And Jesus wanted those following him, his disciples and everyone else, to understand that the road ahead, it wasn't going to be easy. The road ahead was going to be hard. But that at the very least, Jesus was going to make it to the destination. There was going to be no stopping him because Jesus was on the move. I got to say, I think there's a lot of adults that could learn a little something from my little nephew's tenacity. And I've got to say, I think there are a lot of good church folks who could learn a little bit from Jesus about his perseverance. You see, it strikes me that today we have more and more folks who don't care a thing about perseverance. They just want things to be easy. They want things to be easy. You're a Bulldog fan, and they don't win enough for you? Forget them. Find another team. If you're a Tigers fan, and they don't win enough for you? Forget them. Go and find another team. If you have a job, and somebody or something small is standing in your way of where you want to go, don't worry about it. Go find another job. If you're in a church, something happens, somebody says something changes, there's a new preacher, and you don't like it, I'll go find another church. Seems to me that now, more than ever, we've got folks that don't care about perseverance. They just want things to be easy. The truth is, Jesus makes it pretty clear here that things ain't going to be easy. In fact, I got to say, I don't know where this idea came from that church and being a disciple should be easy. I don't know where that idea that being a part of the church and being a disciple should be easy, I don't know where that came from. I don't know when it started, because Jesus certainly seems to say the opposite in this passage. That the road ahead is going to be hard. The road ahead is going to be difficult. Jesus seems to indicate something different, but in the church we think everything should be easy. But y'all, being a part of the church, it ain't easy. Being a disciple, it ain't easy. I can't tell you how many times I have stepped into whatever church I am working at or worshiping at in that time. How many times I've walked in and I've said, "Dear Lord, today I can do whatever you want me to do, but please don't send me to that person. I just can't do it today. I can't see that person today." And you know who's always the first person to greet me that Sunday morning? It's always that person. Always. Being a disciple, being a part of the church, it ain't easy. I had one Sunday morning at a previous church where I served. This is a true story. Where as soon as the sermon was over, finished the final song, gave the benediction, I had one particular woman who was out the back door like a shot. She was to me before anybody else could even blink. I offered my hand to shake her hand, and before she even put her hand in mine, there was a question out of her mouth. "Preacher, how old are you?" Well, at the time, I was 28, so I said, "Well, ma'am, I'm 28. "Ooh, honey, you're going to be bald by the time you're 35 if you don't do something about that." It's a true story. Now, let's be honest about something here. She's not wrong. The choir knows it. I know it. You all, if you haven't figured it out yet. She wasn't wrong. But what she said wasn't very nice. In fact, I would say it's downright cruel to say to the pastor that the only thing you got out of service that Sunday morning was that he's got a bald spot. Now, being a part of the church, it ain't easy. It's hard. Sometimes we say things to folks that we don't mean. Sometimes changes happen that we don't like. Sometimes things are difficult and the road ahead doesn't look all that sure. Sometimes we're just downright mean to each other. Being a part of the church, it ain't easy. So why do it? Why do we do it if it's not easy in this age when everything else comes easy? Why should we be a disciple? Why should we be a part of the church? Best thing that I can come up with is that it's because there's a bunch of us that are still crazy enough to believe that Jesus is still on the move. That Jesus is on the move every bit as much today as he was way back then. But now Jesus isn't headed towards the cross. Now Jesus is headed towards the broken, the sinful, and the lost. Jesus is still on the move. Except now he's not headed towards the holy city. Now Jesus is marching towards the isolated, the forgotten, and the marginalized. Now Jesus is on the move towards death. There's a lot of us who are still crazy enough to believe that Jesus is on the move. Let me be honest about something. Being a part of the church, it ain't easy. Being a disciple, it ain't easy. But I am still crazy enough to believe that Jesus has a mission for this region, for this town, and for this church. Because Jesus is still on the move today. And y'all, I gotta tell you, there's not a question in my mind about whether Jesus is gonna reach that destination or not. There's not a question in my mind about whether Jesus is gonna make it there. There's not a doubt in my mind, Jesus will make it. The question is, will we have the perseverance to make it too? Family, hear me say this today. Jesus is on the move. Are we? It's in the name of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. In just a moment, we will conclude our service today with our hymn of invitation, "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," hymn number 731. But before we sing that, I want to make an invitation for the hymn of invitation. And that invitation is this: that if you heard something in the service today, or if there is something laying heavy on your heart today, then I want to encourage you to come down to the altar rail and to pray. If you heard something in the message reminding you today that maybe you need a little bit more perseverance, then I invite you to come to kneel and to ask God for the strength to persevere in whatever faces you. If you want to thank God for those who have helped you persevere, those who have helped you along this tough journey, if you want to thank God for the perseverance that you have been able to show, then come, kneel, and give thanks. Or even if there's just another name, another person, a situation, something laying heavy on your heart for whatever reason, that I invite you to come to this holy place to kneel and to pray. Because no matter the reason, at this time, the altar rail is always open for those who want to come and pray at it. And so with that invitation made, I want to invite you to stand as you're able to join me in singing hymn number 731, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Family, make no mistake about it. Jesus is still on the move. We better get moving. So go now in peace, and let the peace of Christ go with you, now and always. Amen.